Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal? At the beginning of the show, we play the camel, but at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we jump into a segment we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So let me just call the roll and see if we have a quorum for the council. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, production director and all that kind of stuff, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right, so turning to the south. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Hey, Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! All right, Dale Jackson, you're first. What do you got?
All right, so there's a school in Birmingham where they're going to be providing a grocery store, a free grocery store for children. And in the grocery store, in the stories of the reporting, they're saying that they can get food and take it home and cook it that evening and things like that. Is this a little odd for a school to be doing? And is it wrong for me to think, what's going on inside those homes?
The answer is yes and yes. I mean, so I know not of this story. Where is the school, and how are they getting the money to do the school?
The city councilman is putting up the money out of his discretionary funds, I guess, something related to COVID, surprise.
Huh.
And they still have some discretionary funds there, and it's in Birmingham, the city of Birmingham. It will be providing this program where they not only they have the free lunch, they have the free breakfast, and that's, again, I don't think many people disagree with that, but now we're like packing backpacks on Friday and sending them home.
Yeah.
We're saying that the kids can't even this summer. What are they doing over the Christmas holidays? What are they doing when school's out? What are we doing as a whole? Is this really a smart thing for the city and everyone else to get behind? I would say the answer is, well, we should probably try to help these kids, but we should try to find out what's going on inside these homes too, right?
Yeah, because I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to turn into this thing where or mom writes down the shopping list for the kid, and then the 7-year-old is trying to haul a gallon of milk home in his backpack in the afternoon, and it's not going to work out well. But then the other piece of this is, what are they trading off when they get on the bus? And then, oh, by the way, are they just taking it home so that mom can then sell it to a neighbor for drug money? I mean, I didn't even think about all of that.
Good Lord.
Listen, man, this is a recipe for disaster, not just a recipe for food. It's a recipe for disaster. Jeff, your thoughts?
No, I think there's just too much money in the system, and they had to do something with it. So these nutrition funds, these Department of Agriculture funds, this is what they do with them. And they look for ways to spend money in the government, and this is the latest way. Is it a good program? No, probably not, but they had to think of something to do with it.
So I want to know, are they gonna limit the amount of stuff that kids can get, and then are they going to also limit the ability – of the school to do this unless they invoke the transgender ideology like they tried to do with Title IX. You know, no more free and reduced lunch money for the cafeteria at your school unless you're going to let transgenders play in girl sports. That was the thing. This is nuts. Not going to happen. Not going to work.
Well, it's happening, but it may not work. And I just wonder, you know, is there any accountability at home? I know I keep going back to that, but that's what I'm looking for here. Is there going to be any accountability at home for this?
No, probably not. And then I wonder, too, is every student allowed to participate, or do you have to prove that your family has a need? And it's going to be a mess. All right, I'll take the next one. Let's just keep it right here in Alabama on this one. So there's been a lot of talk about Space Command. Trump's coming. We expect good things. There's also been a lot of talk about the FBI. Is it at all possible, conceivable? Do you imagine it happening in all your born days? Could Huntsville get both Space Command and be the headquarters for the FBI? Dale, you're in Huntsville. You first. What do you think?
I think it's possible that the FBI footprint continues to grow. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that we're eventually going to empty out Washington, D.C., and it's going to be just a husk of what it was, and people are going to be working back here in different parts around the country. I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea. I think that's good. I think it would benefit those people who live in that cocoon, I think that's a very good thing. They'd have to come down here and go to the grocery store and school with the rest of us. It might see how the real world works instead of being off in their little cocoons. We have that problem in the state of Alabama as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that'd be good for them. And I think it'd be great for North Alabama. But I just don't see it. There's centralized governments there for a reason. We may think it's bad or whatever, but I just don't see them unpacking themselves across the country.
So you say Space Command, yes, and more FBI is what you're saying.
Yes, but not a headquarters.
All right, Jeff, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but I could see the FBI headquarters leave at D.C., maybe not to Huntsville. I mean, it's a little top-heavy right now if you have Space Command. They might look around, and there's a lot of members of Congress, Democrat or Republican, who would like to bring something like that to their district, and if it made sense, then I think it's absolutely plausible.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's plausible. I think that right now we already know that the FBI footprint at Redstone is considered FBI headquarters South. They're already calling it that. So if the move is made by DOGE or just by the Trump administration in general to actually move FBI out, what better thing to do than to go to where it already has basing? And it's behind the wire, so it's in a secure location. So I could see it, but I definitely think Space Command's coming. All right. Jeff, what do you got?
Trump just came out against the CR that they're fighting over on Capitol Hill.
That's the end of that.
It's over, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. This is going to be, how about that? He's got his first true test of leadership, and he's not even in office yet.
Well, he's running the country already. We already know.
Are you kidding? He's
that.
Running the world. What are you talking about? Trudeau is about to resign in Canada and Germany, and then you got all, it's crazy. Bankers are bringing $100 billion in to invest in America. It's just like, wow. So the CR, and I'm still getting my head into that. Some of the provisions in there are really whacked. I'm the apologetics out there for the Speaker of the House pushing that through Congress and sending it up to the Senate in its current configuration is just really maddening. More to come. I think they're going to wind up passing it. I think they usually do. I think the Trump can say things about it, but I think they're going to wind up passing it, Dale.
I think it changes. That's what I think happens. I mean, it doesn't really strike me as, this whole, we have to do it. We had no idea Christmas was coming. What a shocker. It's coming earlier every year. It's just an absolute shock. We have to do this and try to figure out beforehand. I just don't think that excuse works anymore. And I think, if you got to shut down the government because of that, so be it. And if you have to stay and work longer, so be it too.
And I agree with that. And I look at this and I think, I can remember when I was campaigning for, I think it was my second run in 2014. I was talking about this very thing back then. That's 10 years ago. They were just doing CRs, and I was pointing out the fact that Alabama balances its budget every year, but in D.C. they can't even pass a real budget. A CR is not a real budget. It's a cheap way of doing your job because you don't want to do your job. This is not a way to run a good government, and I'm really hopeful we can get this thing straightened out. That's my thoughts. Did we just lose them? Are they still there?
I'm still here. We're waiting for you to ask us a question, show host.
That was like just an antithetical result. You guys just went anticlimactic on me. I was like, crickets were chirping in the background. All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to call it right there. That's round one of the Grand Council with two underwhelming responses there from Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore.
Wait a minute, I asked a question.
You did, actually. It was your question. I'm sorry. All right, we're taking a break. We'll gather ourselves and come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, I'm going right back to round two of the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore, and I believe we start with Dale. Dale, what question do you have?
So the Alabama legislature passed a tax cut, and it worked too well. That's what's happened here, and they're very upset about it, including a good friend of ours, Arthur Orr, not upset about it, but it looks like he's looking at a way to maybe cap it and kind of roll back a little bit. That's going to be viewed as a tax increase no matter what happens here. This overtime tax cut worked to the tune of, I think we're looking at roughly $300 million, which is off by seven or more times what they said it was going to be. Complete failure on the budgeting part of this. What do they do?
Well, so, by the way, how great is it, though, that there's more people working overtime? Because apparently the bill did what it was intended. It drove people to work more and to be more productive, and they would get the benefit of a tax-free opportunity if they did that. It's having the exact effect that they said it would.
That's, Senator, that's also what's going on here. They missed the projections on this by a matter of 7, 8, 9, 10. It could be even more than that when it's all said and done.
Well, they missed the projections, but the projections are based upon the amount that they're losing because of people who are working overtime. That's my point.
No. They didn't have any idea. This is what they said. They said this is our best guess. LSA did. But we really don't have no idea. They tried to work with Department of Revenue. We really had no idea how to come up with this number, and they missed it by a lot.
Okay, well, we can differ on where they got the number and how bad they were off. Either way, they were off. But the reality is, how do we get to the point that a Democrat, Anthony Daniels, who sponsored the bill, is the one calling out the Republicans and saying, "Don't cut taxes," or don't basically raise taxes by not following through on your tax cut plan. And so we got a Democrat who's the one now calling out the Republicans who feel like they gave away too much money. That's just a madness right there. We're in the Mad Hatter's Tea Party right now.
Well, I here's a question I have. It feels like Orr's kind of dragging the Republicans along with him here, but I think he's an honorable actor in this.
His whole
objective is just to protect the ETF at all cost. But the problem is we're not in a place where we're ever going to have proration again, right? Like, I think protecting the ETF and the general fund is kind of a thing they needed after 2010. Right now, you need somebody in those or the chairman's role ought to be winding those budgets down the other way, because they have grown and grown and grown, especially the ETF is just growing out of control. And instead of having somebody who views it as a sacred cow, it's time to start starving the beast and reducing the tax liability by doing that.
Yeah, and get back to the mentality that the money came from the constituents first, and therefore, if you have too much, you might want to give some back, because that means you took too much in the first place.
And by the way, I would also, I think one of the ways we talk about this, I think, is wrong, just because we say, you know, we took from them and all this other stuff. Here's the reality. It's not their money. They them not getting it doesn't cost them anything. I know we're splitting hairs here and I'm being very pedantic, but I just want to make that clear. There's a lot of talk of that, and we all do it. I do it too. But just the truthful statement is, it's not their money. They don't get to make that decision, you know, and to say that, oh, we're losing this much money by doing this.
Here's the sad part about that is, you're absolutely right, but that's not the way the people we elected and put in office and the people who weren't elected and work in government view it.
You're right.
As soon as you get in line at the grocery store, here comes our money, and you have to break that mentality somehow in Montgomery.
And the only way you do that is just by doing that. I mean, there's no way to talk about it and make it happen. You have to actually do something. And that's why I was so proud last year that even though it was a Democrat, Anthony, he came on my show. He sounded more like I had people texting my show saying, are you sure he's a Democrat? And on this issue alone, at the very least, he stood out as a leader. And I cannot see them going into the beginnings of an election cycle next year repealing a tax cut. I just don't think it's going to happen. But I do think what they're going to wind up doing is putting the shiv in somewhere else because they got to make it up because they don't have enough of their stuff. And that's the maddening, like Jeff said, that's the maddening piece of them believing it's their money in the first place. All right, Dale stole my question. So let me go to one that I knew you wouldn't pick that I've got on my list. So Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson made her Broadway debut this week in what has been depicted as a queer rendition of Romeo and Juliet using she, her pronouns. Should we be concerned, Dale?
Did Jeff have tickets to it, yes or no?
I heard you were taking Grant. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's not really our style. No, I don't think we should be concerned. She can do whatever she wants, but I mean, let's just be real about it. This is just a benefit of her being in that job. So she gets to live out one of her little dreams. I don't really care too much about it.
Jeff?
Same. It is like the loss leader. We had to have one kook on the bench on the left, and she gets to play that role.
Well, she's playing it, and it's been a continuing opportunity. I mean, she's the one who said she could not identify what a woman was because she's not a biologist. And now she's in a queer rendition of Romeo and Juliet. And I'm thinking, why? Why are you even there? And it was, it, by the way, it was pretty cringe. I saw a video clip of it, and I'm thinking, you did yourself no favors. But the decorum of the bench, as an attorney, I'll just tell you, the decorum of the bench just felt like it was somehow depleted by the whole thing. But maybe that's just me.
What's your favorite
projecting.
Broadway play?
My favorite Broadway play? I'm still a big fan of Oliver. I saw it years ago. Just saying.
Oliver, well, that's old school there.
That's old school, dude. That's old school. Jeff, we got about 2 minutes. What question do you have?
Let's get back to the whole discussion about taxation. And like, this may be a comeback to be continued, but where do we need to start cutting in state government? Because that's a discussion we never have.
I could start with DOT. I could tell you there's people there that make life miserable. I think we could also go take a look at the...
I'm not talking about personalities. I mean, I think we underfund our roads in the state, or we don't competitively bid them in the right ways, and we don't use the funding right. But, like, I think the perception between the three of us here is that the Montgomery and the Alabama state government's a bloated bureaucracy.
It is. It absolutely is.
And I think the money's all in the ETF. Where do we start cutting and saying, okay, let's reduce the size of government?
You start with DOT administrative staff, and you start with Department of Education. And I'm talking the department, not the field, not the teachers. I'm talking about the actual department. Those two entities right there have bloated staff that make life more difficult for what needs to happen in the field. You will have a harder time getting a road paved because you have too many bureaucrats that need to have their hand in the mix, jamming in regulations and making sure that every federal something or other is followed twice instead of once. And it, that's why it takes so long to build a freaking road. Dale?
Well, I think the real way to do this is probably to say, hey, look, we're not going to grow as fast as we've been growing. The idea that they're going to roll anything back, I think, is foolhardy all the way around. So I think that we have to look at possibly just slowing the growth of it and let natural growth take over, as opposed to what
we're
doing now.
See, I find that to be such an unsatisfactory answer.
I know it is. It's very unsatisfactory.
But that's not good enough for a Republican supermajority. Look, guys, they could have competitively bid that prison in Elmore County that went up by like $500 million. There's $500 million right there.
Well,
okay? There's lots of things they could do to make government not cost as much in Alabama.
Well, if they quit trying to pass gambling bills and medical cannabis, we might have gotten there already. But, hey, who knows? All right, listen, that's it. I'm done. Fellas, appreciate you both. The Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson and just little old me every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.